Chapter 12, From Saul to Paul, Persecutor to Disciple. Saul of Tarsus, a Roman citizen by birth, was a Jew by descent and had been educated by eminent rabbis. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. High hopes were cherished concerning him as an able and zealous defender of the ancient faith. His elevation to the Sanhedrin council placed him in a position of power. Saul had taken part in the conviction of Stephen, and the striking evidence of God's presence with the martyr had led him to doubt the cause he had espoused against the followers of Jesus. But the arguments of the priests finally convinced him that Stephen was a blasphemer, that Christ was an impostor, and that those in holy office must be right. Saul's education and prejudice, his respect for his teachers, and his pride braced him to rebel against the voice of conscience. And having decided that the priests and scribes were right, he became bitter in his opposition to the disciples of Jesus. His activity in causing holy men and women to be condemned to imprisonment and even to death brought gloom to the newly organized church and caused many to seek safety in flight. Those who were driven from Jerusalem went everywhere preaching the word. In Damascus the new faith gained many converts. The priests and rulers had hoped that by stern persecution the heresy might be suppressed. Now they must carry forward in other places the decided measures taken in Jerusalem against the new teaching. For the special work at Damascus, Saul offered his services. Breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, he went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Thus with authority and commission from the chief priests, Saul of Tarsus, in the vigor of manhood and fired with mistaken zeal, set out on that memorable journey. A light too glorious for mortal eyes to bear. As the weary travelers neared Damascus, at midday they came within view of fertile lands, beautiful gardens, and fruitful orchards, watered by cool streams from the mountains. While Saul gazed with admiration on the fair city below, suddenly, as he afterward declared, there shone round about me and them which journeyed with me a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun. Blinded, Saul fell prostrate to the ground. He heard a voice speaking, in the Hebrew tongue, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." Almost blinded by the light, the companions of Saul heard a voice, but saw no man. But Saul understood the words spoken, and in the glorious being who stood before him he saw the crucified one. On the soul of the stricken Jew the image of the Savior's countenance was imprinted forever. Into the darkened chambers of his mind there poured a flood of light, revealing the error of his former life and his need of the Holy Spirit. Saul now saw that he had been doing the work of Satan. He had believed the priests and rulers when they told him that the story of the resurrection was an artful fabrication of the disciples. Now that Jesus himself stood revealed, he was convinced of the claims made by the disciples. In that hour the prophetic records were open to Saul's understanding. He saw that the crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus had been foretold by the prophets and proved him to be the Messiah. Stephen's sermon was brought forcibly to his mind, and he realized that the martyr had indeed beheld the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Saul under conviction. In that moment of divine revelation, Saul remembered with terror that Stephen had been sacrificed by his consent and that many other followers of Jesus had met death through his instrumentality. Stephen's clear reasoning could not be controverted. The learned Jew had seen the face of the martyr as if it had been the face of an angel. He had witnessed Stephen's forgiveness of his enemies. He also had witnessed the fortitude and cheerful resignation of many whom he had caused to be tormented. He had seen some yield up even their lives with rejoicing for their faith. All these things had at times thrust upon Saul's mind an almost overwhelming conviction that Jesus was the promised Messiah. At such times he had struggled for entire nights against this conviction. Now Christ had spoken with his own voice, saying, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And the question, "Who art thou, Lord?" was answered by the same voice, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." Christ here identifies himself with his people. In persecuting the followers of Jesus, Saul had struck directly against the Lord of heaven. Trembling and astonished, he inquired, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And the Lord said unto him, "Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." When Saul arose from the ground, he found himself totally deprived of sight. He believed that this blindness was a punishment from God. In terrible darkness he groped about, and his companions in fear led him by the hand, and brought him into Damascus. On the morning of that day, Saul had neared Damascus with feelings of self-satisfaction because of the confidence placed in him by the chief priest. He was to check the spread of the new faith in Damascus and had looked forward with anticipation to the experiences before him. But how unlike his anticipations was his entrance into the city! Blind, tortured by remorse, knowing not what judgment might be in store for him, he sought out the home of the disciple Judas, where, in solitude, he had ample opportunity for reflection and prayer. For 3 days Saul was without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. Again and again he recalled with anguish his guilt in allowing himself to be controlled by the malice of the priests and rulers, even when the face of Stephen had been lighted up with the radiance of heaven. He recounted the many times he had closed his eyes against evidence and had urged the persecution of believers in Jesus. In lonely seclusion. These days of self-examination and humiliation were spent in lonely seclusion. The believers feared that he might be acting a part, in order to deceive them, and they refused him sympathy. He had no desire to appeal to the unconverted Jews, for he knew they would not even listen to his story. Thus his only hope of help was in a merciful God, and to him he appealed in brokenness of heart. Shut in with God alone, Saul recalled many passages of Scripture referring to the first advent of Christ. As he reflected on the meaning of these prophecies, he was astonished at his former blindness and the blindness of the Jews in general. Prejudice and unbelief had prevented him from discerning in Jesus the Messiah of prophecy. As Saul yielded to the Holy Spirit, he saw the mistakes of his life and recognized the far-reaching claims of the law of God. He who had been a proud Pharisee, confident that he was justified by his good works, now bowed before God with humility, confessing his unworthiness and pleading the merits of a crucified Savior. Saul longed to come into full harmony with the Father and the Son, and in intensity he offered fervent supplications to the throne of grace. His prayers were not in vain. The inmost thoughts of his heart were transformed, and his nobler faculties were brought into harmony with the purposes of God. Christ and his righteousness became to Saul more than the whole world. He had believed that Jesus had disregarded the law of God and taught his disciples that it was of no effect, but after conversion Saul recognized Jesus as the one who had come into the world for the purpose of vindicating his father's law. He was convinced that Jesus was the originator of the Jewish system of sacrifices and that at the crucifixion type had met anti-type. Saul was one whom Christ intended for a most important work, yet the Lord did not at once tell him of the work that had been assigned him. When Saul asked, "What wilt thou have me to do?" the Savior placed him in connection with his church, to obtain God's will for him. Christ had performed the work of revelation and conviction, now the penitent was to learn from those whom God had ordained to teach his truth. While Saul in solitude continued in prayer, the Lord appeared in vision to a certain disciple at Damascus, named Ananias. "Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for, behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Ananias could scarcely credit the words of the angel, "Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem, and here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name." But the command was imperative: "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles, and kings, and the children of Israel." Obedient, Ananias sought out the man who had breathed out threatenings against all who believed in Jesus, and putting his hands on the head of the penitent sufferer, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight, and be filled with the Holy Ghost." And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose, and was baptized. Thus Jesus placed Saul in connection with his appointed agencies on earth. To the organized church belonged the work of directing the repentant sinner in the way of life. Many have an idea that they are responsible to Christ alone, independent of his recognized followers on earth. Jesus is the friend of sinners and has all power, but he respects the means he has ordained for the salvation of men. He directs sinners to the church, which he has made a channel of light to the world. When Saul was given a revelation of Christ, he was placed in direct communication with the church. In this case, Ananias represented Christ and also Christ's ministers, who are appointed to act in his stead. In Christ's stead, Ananias touched the eyes of Saul. In Christ's stead, he placed his hands on him, and as he prayed in Christ's name, Saul received the Holy Spirit. All was done in the name of and by the authority of Christ. Christ is the fountain, the church is the channel of communication.